Welcome to the Other Worlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 31, and as usual, I'm joined by Malified Alien Pickle. What's up, guys?
Not much. It's a wonderful day, hanging out, chatting about video games. Only thing better is playing video games, right?
Yeah, how about you, Video Jim?
I want to be an anime expert. That's my new career goal.
Oh, okay.
That's what I want to do. Like our boy, what's his name? Gary Spivey. We had that going on pretty thickly yesterday. To the point where I figured out how to actually make that hair in the character creator in Guild Wars. So now I'm gonna be a psychic healer, not just a cleric.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh. Is this the guy with the Spaceballs hair, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Like, yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they have a big fro, and then you can make your hair white. So I did it, and it was just like, oh my god, it's accurate.
For anybody who's wondering, come on over to our Discord, and you will see exactly what we're talking about. This is some of the craziest stuff. This guy's hair literally looks like he's wearing one of those white Spaceballs helmets.
And yeah, it looks like the thing you'd scrub bugs off your car with, but but made into a giant helmet wig that he wears.
It's quite spectacular. Absolutely amazing. So
it's like a Liberace level psychic helmet.
Yeah. Well, I think that helps him tune in the psychic frequencies around him. It's like a giant antenna.
That's spectacular. Well, we kind of dove in a little bit on our last episode. We talked about the new MMO, New Worlds. Or New World, I guess?
No, New World. New World, yeah, singular.
New World, singular. And I've had a little bit of time with it. Jim's tried to get into it, but the queues keep filling up. It is a beta, of course, so these things do happen. But it came up in the last episode talking about MMOs and games preserve. Well, no, it didn't actually. We were talking before the show, weren't we, about the Matrix games? And yeah, I think Jim Alien Pickle brought up. Is Enter the Matrix out there in the wild as like an emulated game that you can play? Because you can't, you can't play it anymore normally. They shut it down several years ago. To my recollection, there's no official emulator. I know there's something that I read at one point where I think someone was working on one. As game preservation.
MXOMU.info apparently is the site.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
somebody's got it up.
I think that's the one I was looking at one point. But the kind of the gist of what we want to talk about today, because as game preservation enthusiasts, as people who have a passion for that, MMOs are some of the more trickier ones, and some of them are still around to this day. Some of the older ones, I guess, like on Steam, you can get Meridian 59. Which I guess came out in the 90s, which is one of the first MMOs out there for playing. But, like EverQuest 1 and 2, you can still get on Steam, right? And those have been around for quite a while. Obviously, World of Warcraft came out in 2004, and you can still play that. EVE Online came out in 2003, you can still play that. These are from those earlier, more popular, I guess, computer days of playing MMOs that are still around, but others have certainly come and gone. We've talked about Star Wars Galaxies before. Some of them didn't even get off the ground. Like there's the Stargate Worlds MMO that never even got off the ground. There was the Warhammer one that didn't quite fully get going before they canned that one. Is Ultima Online still going, or is that an emulation?
It looks to be. No, I mean, that looks to be the official site, just at first glance, at least.
Yeah, because I was wondering about this one, too. So, Ultima Online's still going on out there. Hell, you can play RuneScape. They got the RuneScape Classic. But, you know, things like what happened with Sony Online Entertainment that kind of disbanded and then sold its stuff off to Daybreak, things like Star Wars Galaxies and The Matrix Online, I think they even had a couple others that then got sold off to other folks.
So it was basically like they went from subscription fee model to let's microtransact the shit out of this, right? So that was like Daybreak's angle.
When Daybreak took over, they just shut down some of those games. Now, of course, some of that was shut down due to other games, right? So, like in Star Wars Galaxy's case, they got shut down just before the Old Republic came out. I have a feeling there was a lot to do with that because they didn't want to have a competing MMO, which I would argue is actually a far better MMO. In terms of that. But, you know, New World is coming out, and I'm just kind of wondering about the state of things with MMOs, because it seems like the idea of a traditional MMO or even some kind of, games as a service, I think, has really kind of taken over that spot. And people have kind of coined them as being MMOs, but they're not, in my opinion, when you look at them side by side with what you traditionally would consider an MMO, in my opinion. I think WoW is definitely starting to go in a really unique direction because they're having a problem really making new and unique content. There's only so much new content that you can make with that to keep that game going. And even with the resurrection of their classic servers, they've started introducing a lot more of the cash shop style things where you can buy tokens and level tokens and all this kind of stuff to, you know, maximize a new character like right off the bat. And yet I almost predict WoW will become a complete free-to-play MMO at some point in the next 5 years. That's my thought.
The only thing that might make that not happen is the cost of running the infrastructure. But if they scaled it way down to, you know, a couple of realms, I suppose that could make sense.
Well, I'm almost kind of wondering at what point, though, is everything just kind of more of like the realms kind of mindset just goes away and it becomes more of like an instance based thing, like what you see with Star Trek Online, or I even think,
Elder Scrolls Online.
Elder Scrolls. So, infrastructure is a huge thing, but they don't have the numbers like they used to, I would think, that would make that such a huge deal.
Well, but there's a sunk cost, like, to run the database, to run, you know, that database supports 20 realms, and so do you re-engineer and spend a bunch of energy to figure out how to run the game on a smaller database server, or do you just keep 20 realms, or what? And WoW, to be fair, has slowly gotten away from, I mean, the realm is still where you do your PvE stuff, but all the PvP stuff is your battle group or your region, because it allows you to cross over between the realms on the back end.
You know, what's interesting about that, though, is while they allow you to cross into realms, because, like, you can go into a town and see people from other realms and stuff like that, but you still have to pay for a character transfer. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they make more money, I guess. I mean, I guess that's what it boils down to. I think all of these games, like Ultima Online, I know Origin was running, Origin was running it, and EA wanted to shut it down, but it made money. They make a lot of money, and they weren't like doing new content, but there were enough people who were willing to pay for it to keep it up and keep their stuff that it was worth, you know, running it. And it was very similar with a lot of the Daybreak stuff, from what I understand, where, you know, the games are old. EverQuest is, you know, one of the OG, you know, MMOs, and It's just kind of there, but people still love it. And EverQuest 2 never really took off like EverQuest did, I don't think. So you still had a bunch of people who wanted to play, you know, EverQuest 1. And they're willing to, and as long as they're willing to pay for it, like, why not? I think where it gets interesting is, like, you have to run that server for the game on something, and that something that you're running it on is not a, it could very well be a very old version of Linux, for example. And what is your risk tolerance, right? Does, if somebody finds a way to get into the game server and hack their way out of the game server into the underlying operating system, that could be really bad news. And, you know, do you want to deal with that security headache or take that risk? Or how do you deal with that risk? Do you segregate off the servers? And how much does that cost, and how much time, you know? So it's all becomes this big, you know, cost benefit equation, whether it's worth continuing to run these games for the developers, for the operators, I guess.
Wow. So looking at it in that, thank you, by the way, for all that, but I'm sorry. Looking at this Ultima Online thing is quite interesting because it turns out it's all EA, and they are still doing subscription-based stuff for this, but it looks like it's a group subscription with Dark Age of Camelot and like Broadsword and stuff like that. So this is interesting to still see these MMOs are going. Or maybe, yeah. Their model here is quite interesting because I'm not entirely sure. Because Broadsword seems to be free, or Dark Age of Camelot seems to be free, but you're still paying for something here. Looking at this account, so you can't just download and play free here.
Yeah, and I haven't followed it closely enough to really understand how the business side of it works. It looks like if I sign in with my existing Origin account, I'm offered a free trial for Dark Age or for Ultima.
They also have a classic client and an enhanced client for Ultima Online too, which is pretty.
Yep. Yeah. So there's obviously, you know, there must be enough interest that they've put the work in to, you know, kind of keep this thing going. And it's, I think that's great. Like, I love that you can still go back and play this game if you want to. And hopefully it's not, you know, too onerous of a cost, that it's, you know, sort of cheap enough that you can kind of do it just to try it out for a while. But there's no, way that any MMO is going to hit the numbers that WoW did, I don't think, at this point.
No,
I think MMOs have changed.
Well, I think gaming has changed, really, is what it is. Because when you look at,
fair.
When you look at the market of just gaming in general and how many people, there's so many people playing games. It's amazing to me to see just how many people are playing how many games across the globe, right? Because there's little niche communities for all these games, and they all have some kind of like user. Now, granted, they might be playing other games too, but like when you look at a community that plays Star Wars Galaxies, you have like a 1,500 people that play that game dedicated. They're always playing that game all the time. On Legends, for example. And then you have a couple of other like little niche communities that have their own little servers of maybe like a couple hundred people playing on them or something like that, which is crazy to me that there's people that are willing to play these old games still, and yet you still see all of these huge other popular games that are just getting so many players in them all the time. It just there's a lot of people playing a lot of video games. you know, I just, you know, it's cool to see, but at the same time, I wish there was more being done to preserve some of this legacy stuff. And kind of to pivot a little bit, I really love the fact that the latest thing that Xbox has done with Game Pass is they've added in Crimson Skies, right? And what was it? The original Psychonauts from the original Xbox. These are original Xbox mm-hmm. games. And it seems to be that they're going to be continuing down this trend of putting original Xbox games onto their service. And I think that's fantastic. I'd love to see their entire catalog at some point get on their service. I think that'd be amazing to see the work put in and the effort put in to make that happen. Because there's a lot of great stuff out there, not just from the original Xbox, but the Xbox 360 era. And the state of MMOs is in just such a weird place, I feel like, because there was another new one that came out called Crowfall that I know Jim tried, and at one point I was considering trying it out, but I'm so leery of new MMOs on whether or not they're actually going to be interesting or grab my attention or be good or value my time. Because a lot of MMOs want you to invest, like their whole model is based around how much can we keep the player in our game. And because that's how you keep the subscriptions going, right? And mm-hmm. for years and years and years, I played a lot of EVE Online. That was like the MMO of choice that I played for many, many years. I still have an active subscription to it because I paid for like a year's worth of sub. Sometime last year, they had some big deal that they were doing. It was massively discounted to like subscribe for a year, which I did. And I've just let my skill queue go. But like the way that game's changing is in a lot of ways the way that WoW is changing. There's more of a cash shop. They're providing rewards for people who may have like lost in a battle, and then you can pay like $5 to get all your stuff back. So you're literally paying CCP, the developer of EVE, $5 whenever you die to get all your stuff back. So like the idea of loss is not really there, but you're actually it's these microtransactions, it's these little injections of cash that just keep these games alive in like the different ways. And I'm almost wondering if they're doing this stuff because they have to keep the revenue up somehow because they don't have the player base there anymore. But at what point does that also ruin the gameplay? It was like adding in these little cash things, just trying to squeeze more life out of a game to keep the revenue flowing, you know, and eventually they know that this is probably going to kill their game and they're just trying to get as much out of it until it dies, or like what? Because it doesn't make sense to me, because other games do it better. I feel like there's other games that are kind of designed around this idea of, you know, hey, you know, you can pay a little bit extra, but it's not going to ruin the game for you. Like it's not going to, you know, it's quite interesting. Now, content is a completely different thing, because you look at Elder Scrolls Online, get their content. They have so much freaking content that you're going to be spending a lot of money because there's a lot there. There's so much. It's an Elder Scrolls game, first of all, so every single person you find has a quest for you. I'm definitely learning that going back and playing Skyrim through for the first time. But you know, every single person almost you run into that has something that you're doing. Like you're running from one quest point to another, and in between there's five other people that have something for you to do. You know, like go find all of my chickens, or please go save my dog, or you know, like
yeah.
Something so trivial like that, but it's like everywhere. And then not on top of that, well, with Elder Scrolls Online, there's also all the dungeons and expansions, and oh my god, it's a lot.
Well, and that's where I'd say it's worth noting that you can go and buy all of that content you're out of pocket, and it would be a couple hundred dollars at least. To do that, or you can pay the subscription, which at least on PC on console for some reason the only option is 15 a month, but on PC it goes down as you know buy three months, 6 months, 12 months. And if you do that, you get all of the access to all of the in-game dungeons at least. You still have to buy like the latest expansion and the base game. Or, you know, if you want to play that, if you already got an older expansion and you want to play the new content, you have to buy that. But they do make it so that with the subscription, at least, you're out of pocket like $60 to get into the Elder Scrolls Online. And then if you pay the subscription, you can do a lot of the other stuff. But a lot of that other stuff is also endgame content. So you don't need to pay maybe until you get to the end. There are some quality of life things that it gives you, but... But yeah, it's an interesting business model, and I think they've been very successful with it for Elder Scrolls Online. I mean, they're one of the few MMOs that's still doing annual expansions at this point.
Yeah, and Guild Wars 2 is getting ready to come out with their next phase, if I'm not mistaken, as well. And then there was, Final Fantasy 14 is getting ready to do another expansion that's coming out soon.
I think it's out now, but yeah, or if it's not, it's very, very soon.
Yeah, and so I think the way that some MMOs have started to approach things, I honestly do really appreciate how Elder Scrolls Online is doing things, and the way, and the state of where Fallout 76 is now, I really like. Because it's kind of like small world instances of players, right? Where... You know, I can log in if like Jim gets on or you get on. We might not be in the same instance, but since we're friends, I can go and just say join your instance, and it'll pop me in where you are, and we can team up and we can go do stuff. But it doesn't have to be so heavily focused on the other players or interacting with other players. So I can have a vastly single player experience if I want to. And then just kind of co-op with other people when I feel like co-oping with other people. You know, if I just want to go in and work on building my base, or if I feel like I need to go like raid a town to go get supplies to build more stuff for my base, or, you know, those kinds of things. The other interesting thing I found out too about Fallout 76 was the other day I was playing with one of our community members, the other Dan, and he was telling me like you can actually go to other people's bases and you can buy stuff off of them. Like they can have stuff for sale and you can actually buy stuff from other players, which I had no idea that you could do. So like other people could make stuff.
That's that's what you do with camps, is set up vending machines.
But you see, I didn't know that. I thought you could just build camps to build cool bases. Like stuff for yourself to where you can craft all your own materials. I didn't realize that you could set up a base to be like a, you know, a cash shop. Like here, you come, you come spend your bottle caps here. I got the best stuff in town. Like I had no idea. So I thought that was kind of cool. So I feel like there's some minor games out there that are actually doing some really cool things with the way like that are different than just the traditional MMO that still fit that MMO mold, I feel like. And I feel like Fallout 76 is doing a good iteration on that. But I also feel like there are in some ways that like some of the best stuff that we've had in MMOs are behind us. Like we just don't see it in modern MMOs anymore. You know, I know that like Chris Roberts with Star Citizen is trying to do something grand, but like his vision is so big, I feel like it's unobtainable. And Talk I feel James like
Cameron.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like, and
unobtainium. No,
yeah.
I was just being facetious, but yeah, I mean, I get the appeal of Star Citizen. Like it totally made sense to me why people wanted it to be a thing, wanted it to work, wanted it to succeed, because it's a cool idea. It's just, you know, he's not getting there, but I really think that what we've seen is all the things you're describing are taking the traditional big giant AAA WoW killer type MMO, and that failed time and time again. So people have realized like, oh, we can be successful in our own little niche. We don't have to go head to head with WoW. Now, maybe now it's Final Fantasy 14 because WoW has sort of killed themselves. You know, I think we joked about that at one point, but whatever that looks like, there's not much room for big triple, you know, for multiple big AAA MMOs, but you can have, you can be very successful catering to a smaller audience. And I think, you know, Star Trek Online has done a really good job of doing that. The real money transaction part of it's a little much, a little in your face at times, but
yeah,
knowing that a lot of it's cosmetic helps, I guess.
Well, the interesting thing about Star Trek Online is they stopped doing subscriptions. So what they've done with that is either you are just a free tier player and you can like microtransaction your way through the game, or you can pay like a one-time fee of like a lifetime, what they call their lifetime sub, and then like not have to really deal with all that other stuff. Yes, there still is like a cash shop that you can use, but like they give you 500 credits free a month that you can use. So that's like a $5 value. So essentially you're paying them, you know, upfront, and then over time they'll just slowly start paying you back, right? And I find that fascinating, because then I can use that to convert those credits into other in-game credits for different things, or I can save it up and buy other things in their like credit store, or and I went ahead and like I went ahead about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago at this point, and paid for a lifetime sub because it was on sale for 50% off, and I saw the value in that because I do still play it, and I figured why not. And, you know, I get all the cool little perks that come with it. But I think Elder Scrolls Online does like a little perk thing. Like if you sub, they give you some cash a month. I think the Old Republic is doing that now, too. If you sub with them, you get like some cartel coins, as they call them.
Well, and you do have the daily login stuff, too, right? Where,
right, yeah.
You've got that incentive to... you know, be active in the game at least a little bit, and that gives them a chance to sell to you. Hey, look at this cool new ship we're doing. Come check it out.
Yep. Yeah, the login reward things is interesting. I do find that fascinating. Like, how much are people just clicking on the game to get into the login screen just for the login rewards, and then logging right back out just so that they can keep up with that? Because maybe they're busy with other things, or.
That is the limit of my interaction with Elder Scrolls Online right now, because I'm not playing it actively, but I have a subscription from, you know, back when, and I still log in every day to make sure I grab my little goodies. So
that's funny. Well, I mean, like what if there was MMOs, like if there was some new MMO today, like what would you like want it to have? I mean, like, I feel like there's a couple of them that do it really well in different ways. Like I said, Fallout 76, I think, is doing it in a way that I find entertaining. It's a new way of doing it. I think Guild Wars is still going strong with what it does, and I like the way that Guild Wars does their stuff.
I haven't played Guild Wars ever, despite hearing lots of good things, just never quite got around to it, but I would like to hear what you guys think, because I'm drawing a blank, well, I guess, right now. But
well the thing that's really cool about Guild Wars is there's a lot of living world type stuff. So like you can be in the middle of like doing something, and then all of a sudden there's like a world event happening right next to you, and you can, and I think Elder Scrolls Online does the world event stuff too. And I think that helps keep things fresh, because you don't always have to be going to go and fetch a quest. There's something that's been triggered where there's a fight going on, and any player can come in and jump in on the fight and get in on the action, help take down the dragon or chase. Yeah,
it's like the bulk of the content is living world stuff that'll you know, it's like quests that you get is like go participate in this living world thing.
Yeah. And
so it'll spawn up like, here's a group boss that'll just spawn in the middle of a zone.
And I like that a lot, because it keeps it, for me, it keeps it fun, it keeps it dynamic, and it's not the same every single time. At least for me, it doesn't feel like it's the same every single time. So that's what I like about what Guild Wars 2 is doing. But I'm also one of the weird ones that I also really like story. So I love narrative like driven type stuff, which is why I think Fallout 76 has kind of redeemed itself because they've definitely put in a better narrative thing going on in there. The Old Republic has done the same kind of thing where they've kind of revamped their game. Because when the game came out, when the Old Republic came out, it didn't know what it wanted to be. It didn't know if it wanted to be a single-player MMO or single-player RPG or like an MMO. Because when you're doing the MMO stuff, it was really good, and then the single-player RPG shit was getting in the way. But when you were trying to do like the single-player RPG stuff, then the MMO stuff was getting in the way. And so like you could never really like figure out what kind of game it was that you were playing because it was like two things in one. And then eventually they kind of like fleshed all that out, and now it definitely has, in my opinion, more of a Fallout 76 style, or, you know, it really has figured itself out to be a more enjoyable game, where you can focus on, like, you can log in and focus on your single player stuff, or you can have someone come co-op stuff with you, but you're not held to the standard of you have to do this with other players in order for you to enjoy the game. And I think that's part of the weird nature that we've run into, which is like in the past, like you had to rely on other players to go and do some of the bigger content, right? Well, Guild Wars just kind of like throws it at you. It's a world event, and you know, you don't have to wait for a dungeon queue up. It's like right there in front of you, you know, like you don't have to sit in town and shout for a tank, you know, or, you know, whatever it is. But and I think that's what helps keep things dynamic. Now, there's still, dungeons are still fun, and I think people should still, you know, you should still have dungeons in games because they're like, you know, they're unique content, because it keeps you, when you have a game that has a variety of content in it, that's also good. But like, in other words, you don't have to wait for that kind of stuff if you want to go and do these other things. Like, there's still stuff to go and do, that's fun. So I also feel like, you know, having games where you feel like you have purpose to them, like, you know, does this interest me? Does it hold my attention? Am I having fun doing what I'm doing? Or do I feel like this is just boring schlock? And that's what I felt like when I was doing New World. I felt like I was bored. And that doesn't bode well when you're trying to play a beta of a brand new game and you're in the beginning of this new game and you're bored to tears. Like, that's how I felt. Playing Fallout 76, I'm interested in what's going on, and I'm intrigued by the world around me. I'm intrigued by the story that I'm here for. You know, same thing with like an Elder Scrolls, or, you know, even WoW. Like, you know, there's more interesting things going on that I want to figure out, and I'm curious to find out about. In New World, I'm just like, I have no idea what this island is, why I'm here, or like why I should care, or yeah.
Yeah, I think story for me would definitely be a must. Like, I like Elder Scrolls Online because it has a lot of lore and story to it. My one complaint is it is easy to get sort of off track on the story quests because they've got about 6 or 8 points where you can jump into the story depending on which expansion it is.
Right.
And you can sort of end up in the middle of the story unintentionally that way. But I love the idea of having, you know, just a lot of stuff to do and having those breadcrumbs that kind of lead you through the world on a cool and interesting story. I think WoW did a really good job of that, you know, originally, and I think Elder Scrolls Online is probably the best example today. I've played Final Fantasy 14 enough to say that they do it as well, but I haven't played, you know, super recently. It's been a few years. I find that I need the combat to be the right mix of action and strategy, and I'm not sure I could even define what that looks like, but I find at least certain classes in WoW to be really tedious because you just kind of stand there and push a button off and wait for the timer to go away, and then you push the button again.
Interesting.
Do you not find that to be the case?
Well, no, I mean, no, I'm just, I hadn't put that that into my thought though. Like I'm agreeing. In other words, gotcha. I'm agreeing. Yeah, just I hadn't really thought of that at all. So
yeah, I feel like a game that gives me quests that there's no struggle to accomplish it is just a pointless story generator.
Right.
And then a game that doesn't have a reason for me to go do these hard things is just whatever, right? It's a sandbox that doesn't have a purpose. And we have enough games that I've already complained about with that, right? You know, it's like Space Engineers. Look at all the crazy stuff you can do for no reason.
Right? Well, so okay. Well, then let's talk about our biggest one, Elite Dangerous, right? Like they keep giving you these things to do, but to what end?
Right, and the actual doing of it, it isn't that interesting once you've done it a couple times.
Right, yeah. You're just like, okay, like, but even then, like when they added in the carriers and stuff like that, where people could actually have their own carriers, I was like, cool. What am I supposed to use this for? Like, I've got my own carrier now that can act as like a dock, and you know, other players can come dock at it, and then. You know, you get some kind of infrastructure, but now I've got to upkeep this damn carrier. Like, for what? Like, I'd rather not have one. Like, I saw the carrier, and I saw, like, all the requirements for it, and I'm like, yeah, that's a big no for me. Like, I'm not even interested. You know? Like, I don't even see the benefit in it. So, yeah, games that have, and for what it's worth, Elite Dangerous is a beautiful game. It's got a fun simulation going on, right? Like, where... sorry, my dog's barking in the background. I'm not sure if you can hear that or not, but, there's a really great simulation going on in terms of like, you know, the flight mechanics and, you know, the combat and stuff can be fun, but oh my gosh, my dog, hold on a sec.
It's really pretty at times, but they're just like you've talked about, Jim, there wasn't a lot that kept me going to go see it. And it sure seemed like they could have gotten there. They just didn't. And they've sort of shot themselves in the foot multiple times on that front. I was just saying, I was sort of agreeing with the general sentiment about Elite Dangerous, that it doesn't do enough to kind of keep you engaged and interested. I think... The tricky part, especially for more mature games, is making you want to do the thing, but not overwhelming you as a new player with 5,000 lore quests and dumping you into, you know, the storyline. 'Cause that can be not fun, very distracting. So it is a challenge to, you know, find that balance, I guess.
Yeah, and I often love to go back and like kind of examine. For me, the gold standard was how Star Wars Galaxies did it. It had when it first came out, it definitely had a sandbox environment to it. Eventually, they kind of made it a little closer towards like a traditional MMO, like WoW, with level systems and quest lines and all this other stuff. But they gave you this idea of a purpose of being like your own individual in a galaxy far, far away. Like if you wanted to go and be a bounty hunter, for example, there was a whole thing that you could do where you could be a bounty hunter, and there was a bounty hunting system and how you could actually like go and hunt down like Jedis, like other players that were Jedis in the game. And like there's this whole thing about it that kept it really interesting, unique, complex, and different. And then they added in the whole space thing, so you had the space dogfighting component where you can actually customize your ship. You can swap out components, ship parts, weapons systems, shield systems. You know, put an AI in there, put a droid in there, or whatever it was. Multi-crewed ships. You know, where you had player owned housings where you could customize the crap out of like your house and like where you place stuff and where you put things and collections. And it became very, very interesting. City building stuff where you actually had like a city planner and you could start your own player city and have, you know, different people that like lived there and different vendor tents. And then people became known for being really the best vendors and stuff like that. And because you know, you can have carbines, but carbines, you could have different stats to them depending on how they were made and like what materials mm-hmm. like the crafter used to make them. It was very complex and deep and interesting that way, because it really kind of allowed for people to explore it in their own way and how they could do a thing. You know, just a simple man trying to make his way in the universe. you know, but when I compare that to, and I think that's one of the things that has kind of spoiled me with some games, because of the, I do love simple stuff too. So keeping it simple sometimes can be nice, because sometimes you just want to be casual. But when I hold up a light comparatively to some of these other games, some of these more modern stuff, it's just this loot grind, this endless loot grind that I think people have gotten into that I just don't understand. And loot for me only is a means to an end, only as so far as like it'll help me accomplish the quest, not because I want more loot. You know, it's you know, they talk about like looter shooters, like Destiny's a looter shooter, right? Like they call it that. I'm just not so much interested necessarily in that. I need more to drive me for what I'm doing, rather than just getting the next tier loot. But why? Like, why am I getting the next tier loot? You know, as where you look at something like Galaxies, like I felt like I was carving out an experience that was unique. And I was carving out a way to play the game and kind of like live in a galaxy far, far away, where I'm doing things with other guild people. I'm playing through interesting story content, and I'm working my way up the Imperial ranks, and eventually I'll go and be able to go meet the Emperor, or, you know, all these kind of cool different little things that make it interesting, because your paths, there's so many paths to choose from to accomplish different things in the game. When you kind of narrow it down to just getting the next tier level of loot, so that way you can go and do the same raid again, but at a higher tier, what's the point? Like, that to me, just to say that you did it, like, and that's where I feel like Destiny loses me on some levels, because I feel like they've scrapped the story and they've redone the story so many times, I don't know where to start and begin with that game. You know, I traditionally like to try and play MMOs because I am curious about the story that's being told. I also thought that was kind of the whole point of the leveling system, as you go through, because that's where the MMO RPG comes into play, that RPG part, right? You're leveling your character, it's that character progression stuff, and that's where these, like, loot shops and cash shops that, like, you can, you know, instant level tokens, they just kind of take me out of that. Just, like, what's the point? Like, what's the point of me trying to level up my character when I'm looking around and everybody's just, you know, throwing money at the game to, you know, pay for, you know, max level gear to do what, you know?
Well, you should be able to pay instead of having friends that would be in a party with you, right? Like, should I be able to just hire bots to go with me? Because, you know, I need four people to do this dungeon. Well, I can pay $1 a bot and just get three bots.
Well, that's something that the Old Republic fixed, right? So in some of these instances, in some of these dungeons, I forget what they called them, flashpoints, I think. If you don't have another player going with you, if you have your companion with you, that's almost considered like one AI, and then the game will drop in a third. So like the game will actually give you.
I find that to be bullshit, though, because the whole point of playing an MMO should be that I have to find other people who are trying to do this as well and do it with them, right?
And that's
I shouldn't be able to play it single player, and they have single player games that are sufficient for that. So,
well,
it's just they saw a market where, hey, there's all these people that want to play this game, but they don't want to actually deal with other people, but they want to be cool and be able to like show off their gear standing in town flexing or whatever. So
well, I mean, part of that's true, yes, I'll agree with that, but I also think too there's a certain point where like the Fallout 76 thing, right? I'll go back to that for a second. I find that interesting because I can play that mostly single player if I wanted to and play through a lot of the story stuff, And, or I can join you and we can go on some quest to go find a thing or fight a thing or do a thing, which was kind of interesting because like the other day when we were playing with Dan or whatever it was kind of like, well, like, where are you guys at? Well, I'm trying to finish up this mission over here, this quest that I'm trying to do over here. And, you know, well, okay, well, Jim, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to finish this thing over here. So it's like, we don't necessarily, like, we can still be playing, but we don't necessarily have to be doing the exact same thing unless the other person needs help. Or it's just like, oh, yeah, I've run into a whole bunch of these ghouls that are just not, I can't take them all on. And then you can, like, fast travel to that person and help them out. And see, I like that nature because it doesn't always have to necessarily be.
Yeah, you know, well, I'm cool that there's content in the game that I can do single, but then there should be content in the game that I can't even walk in the room with.
I agree. Okay, I agree with that. That I do agree with. Yes, because there's content.
It's like if you want the stuff, and I guess that's where people will be like, "Well, that's what rating's for." And it's like, "Yeah, but I don't want to have 40 friends, right?" It's just...
yeah, that's right. Fair too. Yeah.
And I like the games where they actually allow you to adjust level, right? Like a thing that Guild Wars does. That's kind of maybe why Guild Wars feels like a too easy kind of game, because it does cater to like all the convenience things, right? Like the quality of life stuff is there. But I like it more than like Elder Scrolls Online, right? Because at least the game is not afraid to kill me. And it's, you know, I can't go to content that's too high level for me, but I can go back to stuff that I have bypassed or just haven't done that's lower level. It doesn't age out. It just like reduces my level down to where I would be if, you know, so it's like, well, that's fine. And then if there's somebody that's lower level, I can go do what they're doing to catch them up. But I don't like Elder Scrolls where it's like, well, our friend just joined, but we're doing this high-end end game stuff. Well, we can drag them along too because it'll bring them up to where we are. And it's like, no, I don't like that. Going down to help people is better. And I think for doing that, there have been games in the past that actually gave you like a mentor bonus, like EverQuest 2 did that. Where it's like, if you drop your level down and actually play with lower level people, then when you return back to your normal level, you actually get like a bonus for having done it for a while. So it's like every hour you spend helping newbies is an hour that you get like 10% at your own level or something. I'm cool with this. But I don't support the entire game is wide open. You know, it's like, hey, I just made a character in Elder Scrolls. Now I can go to the end game content where, like, the super end boss stuff is and just, you know, fight it like I have business being there. I feel like these games need to have, like, barriers, right? Where it's like there are places I can't go. And even as a max level character, there are still places I can't go alone, right? And I don't mind if those are like mixed in. You know, it's like, okay, well, this is a newbie zone. Why is there like a level 20 thing running around here that'll one-shot people? To make sure that you're paying attention.
Right. Right. Well, I mean...
I just feel like at the point where you lose tension and, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm in this zone where I can kill like 20 of these things at a time. There's no challenge. There's nothing to be concerned about, right? I don't have to like look over my shoulder to make sure that something's not coming to like stomp me into the dirt. And I just feel like, no, that's fine that there is that stuff. And that's kind of what exists in Guild Wars, right? Is like they'll spawn a world boss, and if you happen to be the only person standing around when that thing shows up, then you're toast. So cool, right? Like you learn to like pay attention to the world around you while you're out like picking flowers or whatever.
Huh. That's funny. I was just out picking flowers, and this dragon shows up out of nowhere. Yeah,
exactly as they do, yeah.
That's funny. But jerks.
Yeah, it's just, you know, too many MMOs make the player the top of the food chain without them having to earn it. And then the game's just boring. It's just like, well, there is nothing that's going to hurt me here. So I'm just kind of like going through the motions of picking flowers. Sure.
Yeah, and I think that's where iterating on some of the classic stuff and finding the balance is probably like a good thing. In terms of the Old Republic, though, I think some of those flashpoints are supposed to be story driven, which is why they let you have like an AI with you, because they're part of the storyline stuff that you're supposed to do in order to like move forward on some of the whatever it's called. But yeah, I think for like some of the normal dungeons and whatnot. Now, here's something though. I think that the Old Republic did that very few MMOs do is they added in their own very unique PvP thing called Hutball, which I found fascinating, which is basically two teams essentially playing, you know, Star Wars version of rugby. You know, you're trying to get this ball from, you know, into your goal on the other side of the map.
Yeah, it's like if World of Warcraft's Alterac Valley involved a football and traps. And
right. Yes, exactly that.
Basically. Yeah, but that was the end game of that game when it first came out. That was like the only thing to do. There was no raid content or whatever. Right, it's like, yeah. Oh, I hit max level. What do you do? Well, Hutball is your future.
Go sign up now and get a jersey. But yeah, so yeah.
It needs to be supplemental, not a replacement for, I guess, is the thing.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying like that. You're correct, and I was only saying that because I feel like that's something that more MMOs could do to add in interesting variants of kind of content. The other thing that I love about Guild Wars 2 is all of the different world stuff in terms of, like, you go into a zone and you can go and, like, do all the jump puzzles and all the different little exploration type things that they give you. So it's kind of like this passive thing that you can do, and if you get them all, you get, like, little bonuses for that zone. And I think, you know, points of interest type things where they kind of turn in, you know, in some games it was kind of like little achievements that you could go and unlock just for achievement hunters, but they kind of turned the achievements in here into like bonuses for your, like, for your character, which I think is kind of cool. Like, you actually get rewards for finding the achievements, not just to say that you found the. And I think that's kind of cool. So it kind of keeps a lot of it just gives you a lot to do. I think content, I think story are two of the major driving factors for MMOs. And I think not just adding in a new expansion to add a new expansion, but like keeping things interesting in terms of like what you can do is vastly important. And I think Elder Scrolls Online, I think Guild Wars 2 are two of the top ones right now that are really doing that. And probably Final Fantasy 14, because that's where everybody seems to be.
Yeah. So.
Well, I know we've kind of talked about some of this stuff in the past, but I just thought, you know, with New World coming out, it was worth kind of revisiting and just kind of talking about MMOs and especially games for preservation. And as we've been talking, I've been taking a dive down this website that Jim linked, mxoemu.info. You can actually.
I thought you were going to say you've been taking a dump, and I was like, "Well,
no."
Well, we've been talking. I've been,
I've been thinking on my throne, and no. Well, what's interesting is I've been perusing this site and looking at their forums and such, and there's a lot of information here, and you can actually go and make an account and go play on their server, but there's also a little forum post where you can go and download and like host your own server if you want to. So that's a thing. So interesting. Might just consider doing that at some point. Well, anyway, this has been episode 31. Come visit our Discord, discord.otherworlds.gg. We're still running our giveaway over there as of the recording of this episode. And we have a couple of game servers we are currently hosting, such as Battlefield 4, Unreal Tournament 2004. We got some Minecraft and a little Conan Exiles going on over here, so come check it out. Discord.otherworlds.gg. Tell all your friends. I think that's about covers. Did I miss anything, guys?
No, I think we call it a wrap.
Awesome. Well, this has been episode 31. See you guys next time.
Yeehaw.